of the king. I would dance, I would sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout.
Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning as we're going to get into the Word here. I'm going to start probably a couple week series. I really kind of didn't think it was going to be a couple weeks. I had several messages that the Lord gave me. I have two or three of them sitting there, and the temptation was to find one of them and to go in. There's one area that I wanted to go in, but I just kind of didn't feel like that was the message that I was supposed to hit. And so yesterday morning, I had those, but Lord, where you want me? What do you want me to do? And I said, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you say the words where we need to go. So I sat down and just started. Jesse was in bed, and I think as Ryan was sleeping, and I was just kind of sitting on my lazy boy and being lazy and just speaking in tongues and hearing his voice. And I heard very, very directly, very clearly a word. And so I started studying on that, started getting a word on that. And as I got word on that, the Lord said, now what I'm talking about specifically is I'm talking about this in the area of covenant. And I was like, woo, yeah, I like teaching on covenant. And so at that point, I understood that it's going to be a couple weeks to get through covenant, to teach on covenant for a little while, which again, I love. God spoke to me years ago and said, your ministry is going to be a ministry where it's going to go as far as the covenant relationships in your body of believers. And so for me, you probably notice sometimes where I might almost look frustrated or flustered at certain things. It's usually a direct correlation with me seeing an attack on covenant or somebody doing something that's outside of the covenant boundaries, and it can become very tense for me. Because I recognize what God has spoken to me and the place that He said, that this is where your success is going to lie in your ministry is in covenant relationships. And so when anything goes on that might attack those areas, it really does. It makes me nervous, and sometimes I can start, that's probably when I look frustrated the most, especially around these parts, is when I sense that and I see that going on. But again, I'm not saying anybody here thinks that Pastor Thad's teaching this for any other reason outside. I know this is what the Holy Spirit put on me, for today. That's inaccurate. This is just simply, I'm excited about this, and I get to teach them. Really, my favorite thing to teach on in the world is love and covenant, and of course faith, but this is one of my favorite things in the world. And so in Ephesians chapter 2 is where we like to start when we teach on covenant. And verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, God created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, and again, that word remember isn't to recall as much as it is to don't forget. Keep this in your mind, keep this in your heart, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which was called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, the Jewish people, the Jews that were circumcised in their flesh, didn't like to recognize the uncircumcised as being having anything for Christ. And in times past, we were separated. We were called uncircumcised. And that at that time, when we were uncircumcised, again, now we're circumcised in our hearts. Amen. The flesh part is cut off in our hearts. So we are Gentiles separated from God. But at that time, verse 12, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And again, aliens, we understand being alienated, not participating in, And the commonwealth really is the right of citizenship, what you get for being a child of God. And we couldn't participate in that. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. They're foreigners. We couldn't. It wasn't ours. There's so much talk nowadays about illegal aliens and people crossing, coming into America illegally. And I was listening to somebody one time, and they were talking about it, and they said these illegal immigrants, they come across the wrong way, and their point is, I want to live the American dream, but they can never live the American dream because they're in here illegal. They cannot participate. I know that's what people are fighting about, but they cannot participate the way somebody who comes in the right way, they come in the right way and have the right paperwork, they can make money, they can increase, they can make a life for their families. And so in other words, and that's the way this is. That's what they're telling us here, is that there's a blessing that's on the Jewish people, that's been on the Jewish people, that the Gentiles could not participate. We're aliens, we're strangers. They had no part in it at all. It was for everybody else. It was for them. And we had to sit there and watch it happen. Amen? But it says, therefore, you had no expectancy. You couldn't expect for things to work out for your benefit. And you're without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And of course, I love that but now. But always changes everything. I love you, but. Okay, I don't listen to I love you anymore. I'm you know, what's coming after that? In other words, you were strangers. You were aliens from the commonwealth. You were without God in this world. You were, used to be, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were... You who are far off, that couldn't participate, now are drawn in and can participate because the blood, and again, we can say it like this, the blood covenant of Almighty God. What Jesus did on the cross, the blood that was shed, the cutting of the covenant, that sealed the cutting of the covenant, and it brought all people into that covenant, or the access for all people to come into that covenant. Colossians chapter 2 says, the blotting out of handwriting of ordinances against us. Hanging it on the cross, nailing it to the cross. I love that. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Love when I get to even bring it up in a sermon. But blotting out the covenant of God, blotted out what was against us. Amen? So the blood is the key to the covenant, the shedding of blood and the cutting of the covenant. Now, when we deal with the covenant, I hope that you guys can bring our definition up. And again, it's taken me years. I mean, I started really teaching covenant teaching probably at the turn of the century, in about 2000, 1999. I really started teaching on it and began working a definition. And in my years and my sermons that I've preached on covenant, we've come down to this, is that covenant is an intimate, intricate, binding relationship between two or more people. Now, again, in a marriage, it's two. No more. No more in a marriage relationship. But in a church, in a fellowship like we have, there's many of us that are in these in the covenants that are joined together. In the body of Christ, there's many of us of the household of faith. So there's many. But it's an intimate, intricate, binding relationship between two or more people that unites their strengths in order to eliminate their weaknesses. So in other words, God's wanting to do big things in us, but as long as we are trying to do it on our own, we're going to keep missing. Deuteronomy says, if one can put a thousand, if one can chase a thousand, then two can chase 10,000. In other words, it's not just a double, but your work is increased greatly, without limit. 10 times, just by getting another person involved. So if you get three, how much more can you put to flight? So those three words, the beginning of that definition, are three words that I know are God-inspired. I know God spoke them to me. I know God taught me regarding them, that it's an intimate, intimate relationship, which means it's close. It's based on love. Again, I think that with a body of believers that we need to be reminded of kind of what the motto is over our church, is that we are Grace Fellowship, a fellowship of love. Because without love, your faith doesn't work. Without love, nothing else works. And so it is an intimate love relationship between people. Again, a lot of people start and finish their understanding of covenant relationships with God. In other words, I'm in a covenant with God. I'm in a covenant with His Son, Jesus. And they stop and finish it there, but I know that that is an incomplete place. Because, again, we look to your right, look to your left, and that's the body of Christ. And so I cannot have a covenant with Jessica without having a covenant with all of Jessica. I can't want just her hair fixed. I want her totally clothed in beauty and nice clothes and stuff like that, right? I'm in a covenant married relationship with all of her, not just her head. And most Christians are like, no, just me and God. It's all I need is me and God. And in technicality, they're right, but they're leaving out one of the most important parts of God, and that's His body. And so, again, we started at the beginning of this year talking about this year's what you make it. We talked about how that reassess our priorities, make our priorities right, that the things of God need to be at the top of it, and above and beyond everything else. We talked about the second one was the intimacy with God. That God was drawing us into intimacy with Him. Now again, we preached quite a bit on this and preached quite a bit in this area where God is wanting us in that intimate relationship with Him. To close the doors, to get by yourself with just Him, to wake up in the morning and have that conversation with Him and just say, hey, God, how you doing? Here I am. I got anything for me today? Want to talk? And just to talk with Him, just to fellowship with Him. And that's a major thing. But I do think, and the Holy Spirit just revealed this to me, that's why we're bringing it out right here, is that I think we've missed a very important part of that, because you cannot truly be intimate with God without being intimate with His body. If you're trying to be, you and God intimate just by myself, and again, I was thinking about this morning, that the flaw in so many people where I've seen, and you can't put it on Facebook without somebody bringing up that, well, the church is in a building. It's a person. We're each, and their point is that we don't need to go to a building. If that's where your church body, is, then yeah, you do. If they meet at a house, then go to the house. If they meet at a gas station, then go to the gas station. If they meet at the city park, go to the city park. If the body is meeting somewhere and you're not there, then do I have permission to finish that statement? Then you need to, I'll say it this way, you need to reassess your part of the body. There is no place in Scripture where it says that we are the church individually. He says, ye are the temple, which means you are the dwelling place. The church in and of itself, that word in and of itself, means a gathering place. A gathering of people, a gathering of individuals. So you cannot be a gathering of individuals on your own. Now I know, y'all here this morning, aren't you? But we also know people, and we know that most of you out there know this is a prevalent thought in society. People are increasingly going away from church because they think, I am the church. And again, my point is this, is you cannot be the church if you're by yourself. The church is a group of people who have joined their faith, joined their lives together as one. And according to Philippians, we're of one heart, one mind. We're operating as one. And so the enemy wants nothing more than to get everybody in cahoots. Everybody looking for their own way. Everybody, you know, well, I love you, I just don't want to be around you. You know? Because it makes us ineffective. It makes us not what God called us to be. I'm saying it intensely, but don't get too serious here. God's just giving us some information today. And it's just because we're an intimate body. We're an intimate part. And that's one of the things that I think some people get into when the churches grow is they lose the area of intimacy. But as individuals, we need to have an intimate relationship, a fellowship, a koinonia, a partnership, a joining together of one another, where our vitality stems from us being a part of one another. It's a binding relationship. And again, I think the easiest way to understand a binding relationship is this. The knee bones connected to the hip bone. Hip bones connected to the something else bone. It's just, we're connected one to another. It's binding. Anytime one of those bones, one of those limbs, one of those phalanges, yeah, get separated from what they're supposed to be separated with, they lose their usefulness. They can try to be reattached to another body. You know, people take things from one place and try to put it in another place and the fear is the rejection of it. Sometimes it works, but it's never perfect in that area. But that's what it says in 1 Samuel 18, where it talks about David and Jonathan, it says their hearts were knit together. You could really say it like this: their hearts were bound together. They were made as one. God stitched them together. Covenant stitched them, put them together, made them one heart. And so when there was a separation, it caused chaos to ensue. And so again, the point is that when God brings you into a covenant, that's why God doesn't like divorce. And again, I'm not saying there's not hope for after divorce or that God can't use you. It's not His best. Sometimes it's necessary, but it's not the best, right? Why? Because it's the breaking of the covenant. And there has to be some healing done. And there does, in order to move past that. But it's a binding relationship. It's a relationship that, matter of fact, we'll talk about it a little bit more. I don't think I'm there yet. But it's something that you cannot just rip apart. You cannot just separate. And that's where a lot of people miss it. They'll go from place to place. They'll go from church to church. They'll go from, they'll be in a place and they'll join together and they'll connect themselves where God's placed them, and then they get their feelings hurt, get something done, and all of a sudden they rip it apart, and then they can't figure out why they can't find a good. Well, I went, this one pastor, he hurt me forever. No, what happened is that, again, he may have been wrong. Did y'all know that? Pastors can be wrong. I don't know if you knew that. Don't amen that loud. Okay, that was way too aggressive. Okay. And so the pastor may have been wrong. But when you left because of that infraction and tore it, it left a scar. Now, again, some people are like, well, no, God just led me to another church. Here's the difference between God leading you to another church and you ripping it apart, is that when God leads you to another church, there's peace all around. Because God always works inside the framework of peace. I'm not saying you don't miss them. I remember when Pastor Kevin went over to be the youth pastor over in at Grace, Maine. He came to me, he said, Pastor Apostle asked me, and I told him I wasn't going to do anything until I had your blessing. And I said, Kevin, man, that's a good opportunity. You go do it. And I hated to lose him. We hated to lose him. But there was peace on our part. There was peace on his part. He went over there and had several years where he was the youth pastor over there. But I've been in the same thing where people have done that. And there was no peace here. There was no peace there. They just made the decision to leave. And I can tell you right now that God was not calling you to do anything or telling you to do anything. You chose to do it. You chose to rip apart something that needed not be ripped apart because it's a binding relationship. Amen. Now, again, I don't teach this stuff to coerce you to not doing anything. I believe God has given us members of this body, all in their spot, all in their place. I'm just simply telling you that it's binding and that your blessing is found in that. And I know way too many people who've stepped outside of it. And been very unhappy. All right. But intimate, binding, and then intricate. And I know we say that in a different order in our definition. I think just because we have the eyes together. But intricate is this area where there are so many small facets of covenant that we have to pay attention to. The year that I taught on covenant relationships for 52 weeks, And went through different areas regarding covenant relationship for that span of time. How many little things did we come up upon that were like, oh man, that's another little thing. It's another little part of this that I have to pay attention to. But that's the intimacy. That's the intricacy of it. The intricacy of anything is the small things that will stop making it work. I've had times, you know, my son is really does a good job with computers, and he went to school for it, so I hope he does. So he just has the ability to. I'll say he changed the. I noticed my hard drive on my laptop slowing down, he was one day, he was watching me try to open it up and get there, and it was like, you know, and he said, Dad, your hard drive's getting ready to go. You need to get a new hard drive. So I was like, okay. So I went and I bought one off of Amazon, and I saved everything, and then he changed it out, so then I put Windows 10 on it and updated everything for me, and so it moves amazingly fast now. When I was opening windows, I could open five windows and go, okay, I want that one open, that one open, that one open, that one open. And I could open five of them before the first one actually opened. So that was how slow it was moving. Now I click on the first one and I go to the second one and it's gone because it's already open. But there was a couple things that weren't working. I have a terabyte memory in there, but I keep a little, you know, those little square zip drives or whatever, the photo drives. I keep that in there at all times because there's a few things that I keep backed up. So I just keep it in there. I don't ever pull it out. And it wasn't working. And I was like, what's going on? And I thought, man, your stupid update, your new little thing you had to do, ruined it all. Now it's not working. And I took it into him and he goes, let me see. 5 minutes later, he comes walking out and goes, oh, just that drive just needed to be updated. He says, I got it updated. It works perfectly now. Just a little thing. Just a little thing that wasn't updated. A little thing that wasn't right. And that little thing was keeping me from that communication, from that place where I could use that drive. Because it wasn't updated. And that's the way it is so often in covenant relationships. Is there's these little aspects, these little fragments of covenant that we don't think about, we don't worry ourselves about, and then we can't figure out why we're not seeing the fullness of covenant, the fullness of the blessings that are supposed to come with covenant in our lives. It's because there's a little something that you just need to update, that you just need to have a revelation of, maybe get lined up, and once you do that, you're going to find yourself enjoying covenant a lot more. See, I feel that we spend a lot of time in this area of intimacy, drawing attention to the small things, because again, when we are ignoring them, when we're not listening to them, that's where we miss the power. See, if you're doing something and it's not working, but you're doing something, all right, we're talking about Jesse and I have been working on eating. Got rid of sugars. Amen. If you can't tell by yet, it's working. So we're excited about that. I was talking to Sister Karen just about how in the mornings I'll do a couple eggs. Sometimes I'll throw a piece of bacon or two in there with that. And lunches, I'll do some kind of chicken, some kind of whatever, some kind of meat, maybe a side salad. In the evenings, we do some kind of meat and usually broccoli and cheese or green beans or something like that. But that's and then we just have these little, we've learned almonds, things on that. And again, I'm enjoying it. I'm not having a problem with it. But I was talking to her, and I was like, now see, if I wake up in the morning and have a couple eggs, a couple pieces of bacon, and then I go on with my day, and I get out there, and I think, man, an ice cream cone sounds good. And so I eat the ice cream cone, and I know the whole time that I'm eating the ice cream cone, that's not what I should be eating. I'm not enjoying the ice cream cone the way I should. When I'm done, I feel really garbage about it, because I just ate that. And then you know what's happening? I won't be losing any weight. Because the very things that I'm eating that are good for you if you're just eating that and cutting out the sugars become detrimental to you now. They actually, the things that are okay to eat, it's okay to eat eggs if you're not going high in carbs, if you're not mixing it with carbs. So you're like, no, eggs are bad. Eggs are very good. They're full of a lot of the stuff that you need. And they're okay. Just if you start mixing it with everything else, that's when that gets bad. That's when the bacon gets bad. That's when all that kind of stuff gets bad because it starts mixing stuff up and you're not enjoying it because, there's sometimes eating eggs gets boring. Most of you have heard my story about my strawberry omelet. Sometimes it gets boring eating eggs all the time. But you know what? When you're putting on clothes and you're noticing difference, when you're feeling more energy in you, it makes it okay to eat eggs another morning. But see, when you start mixing it and just doing a little bit, something small can slow down the whole process and make it really frustrating. And so that's the way it is when you're in covenant relationship and you're these little things. That's why some people might think, well, Pastor Thad, you're just picking on it because you're seeing some stuff and you just want to get it corrected. I will never preach on something just because I see something. Because that's the wrong reason to do it. I wait until the Holy Spirit says, okay, now you teach on it. But those little things, we need to get lined up. And again, if there are things that are overtly out there then they're just things that will slow you down. They will stop you from manifesting what God wants to manifest in your life through covenant. And you'll not enjoy covenant. You'll see covenant as, my pastor's trying to control me. You'll see covenant as, I got to go because if I don't, you'll be upset at me. They'll be upset at me. I got to do my thing. You'll see it as a weight on you instead of the thing that God created to do to strengthen you and empower you and lift you up. Amen. So it's that intimacy, that intricacy that we have to watch. Now, if you look in Scripture, I'm sure most of you have looked up the word covenant in Scripture, and it does not have an intimate, intricate, binding relationship between two of them are people that unite their strength. It doesn't have that definition. So Pastor Thad made that up. No, that was, again, that's through years of really letting the Holy Spirit teach me. But if you go and look in Scripture and you look up the word covenant in the Hebrew, does anybody know just the basic definition of covenant? Right off the top of your head? It's one word, really. It's to cut. C-U-T, to cut. And because that's what it is. You write a contract. You sign an agreement, but to have a covenant, it's cut. That's why Jesus had a sword thrust in his side. That's why he had nails in his hands. That's why he had nails in his feet. Is the blood that shed, the blood that poured out of there was a sealing of the covenant that we have with God and the covenant that we have with one another. We no longer have to do that. Can I get an amen? We no longer have to have blood, have goats, or have come up here. You're going to become a member of the church. All right, let me see your hand. Here's my Bowie knife, right? We're going to slice that hand and just drop it in here and drink it and all that kind of stuff. We don't have to do that no more. But you have to have a cut to seal a covenant because you have to have the shedding of blood. Well, that's what Jesus did on the cross. But when you look at that word, covenant, and understand that it means to cut, there's a lot of levels of that. Again, I believe I heard one person say it like this. Seeing a relationship as a covenant means that we would rather be cut than to cut and run when things get difficult. Now, I agree with that. I, matter of fact, that's the whole shedding of blood is that if I break covenant, my blood will be shed. I'm shedding a little bit of it to show you that. And again, we understand the very tribal nature of covenant that remember when the Gibeonites, when Saul broke that covenant with the Gibeonites for David to make it right, they said, we want, was it seven of Saul's ancestors? And he said, okay, I'll give you seven. And he wasn't even slow about it. He's like, yeah, you guys go here. I got a job for you to do. Except they didn't do Mephibosheth. But they wanted seven of them. They were going to execute them as a piece. And there was nowhere in there where it said that was wrong. Because that is the very meaning of the shedding of blood, is that if I break this covenant, you have a right to kill me. You have a right to hunt me down. Now again, we're not under that any longer, right? But we will say this, that things in your life will get hairy, will get heavy when you do that. I would rather cease living than to cut and run from this covenant because this is where my blessing lies. God builds relationships for eternity, not just how we feel in the moment. In other words, so often we live in a culture that our decisions really become made by how we feel today. If we're feeling good, I'm going to church. I'm going to sit on the front row. I'm going to shout and worship. I'm going to sway. I'm going to sing. I'm going to spin around. I'm going to greet people with a holy kiss. And a couple of them, you know, would be, no, I'm just, I'm just going to be so full of love. Things are going good. We're driving down the road and we're at peace with everybody. But when things go a little off, I'm going to be late. Now, again, I'm not picking on anybody for late. I'm just, okay. And I'm not saying that this is, all right. But I'm going to be late. I'm going to sit farther back. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to do this because I don't feel like it. That's a dangerous place to be. Because that's not what covenant is. If we go back to our farming tribe and our warring tribe, there's not a morning that the warring tribe gets up and goes, you know what? We just don't feel like protecting their crops today. They don't have that choice. Covenant says you have a position to maintain, a place to maintain, and you need to go be about it and not be determined based on how you feel today. Now, well, does that mean we can't miss church? Listen, let's get past that. Pastor Thad misses you when you're not here. Pastor Thad's not mad at you when you're not here. And if you are not here because you don't feel well, Pastor Thad's not mad at you. I told Steve last Sunday morning, chill, because he woke up and he didn't feel well and his voice was, I told him to chill. Check my text messages. I did not sit there and guilt him anything. I told him to chill because I get it. And so people, Pastor Ted's trying to pressure us to come to church. No, I want you to come to church because if your face isn't here, I miss you. It's very sad. And I'm not saying sad as in a pitiful way, just sad as in an emotional way when I don't get to see your faces. My biggest joy, top two, God's my biggest joy. But my biggest joy when I get to come to church is I get to see your faces. I get to see you. I get to hug you. I get to talk to you. I get to fellowship with you. Can I say it like this? I am made complete. To use a corny line, you complete me. So let's just, if I use something about missing church, I'm not talking about you're fighting something, you're going through something. Again, that's, if you want to come, come. We'll quarantine you. We'll put you in a little glass hut, something like that. But just come if you want to come. I'm talking about passivity. And we got to know that's the difference in the whole thing, is that I don't feel like going today. Again, covenant's not about how you feel. I don't feel like participating in worship today. Covenant's not about how you feel. That's what I'm saying. Peace? We good? Good? Because I want that beyond us. I feel like sometimes there's the enemy tries to rear his ugly head and going, oh, Pastor's talking about that one time. No, Pastor ain't talking about none of that. Pastor is talking about passivity. Pastor is talking about lethargy, where there's not a passion for the things of God. There's not a passion for the kingdom of God. There's not a passion for the people of God. When we lose that, beloved, we lose. And we'll find ourselves in that place of broken covenant, of messing with covenant, of where we're not getting the benefits of covenant, and then all we're getting is the miserableness of covenant. See, that's where marriages break up. Is because they've got the rules of covenant. Nobody's walking in the intimacy of covenant. Are you with me here? God builds relationships with the light of eternity, not what's going on right now in your life. And so when you make a decision to separate because of what's going on right now, or to even start breaking, weakening covenant, it's the bond believe it's Ephesians chapter 4, it's the bond of unity. I'm pretty sure I can pull that up. So I'm not doing a great job of going quickly, but that's okay. It's been a while since I've taught on covenant. And again, say teach on covenant, it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog to me. It's not right up there at the front, but again, it's the bond of love. We've got to have that operating to hook us together, and the enemy wants to. Now go over to Proverbs 27. I want to keep on this area for a little bit, because this is what the Holy Spirit's showing us, is these intricacy things that what we're going to end up dealing with probably next week. Is an intricate thing that I think that sometimes we miss. And so we'll get into that. But in Proverbs 27, verse 17, we know this scripture. Yusef has a t-shirt with this scripture on it. If you're on Facebook, you'd have probably seen it this week. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. So, what have we just learned? Covenant means to cut. When we are in our positions and we are with one another, we are sharpening one another. We are making angles in ourselves precise. Someone I was reading compared covenant relationships with a diamond. Now again, I'm not a diamond expert. I don't play one on TV, and I'm not going to pretend to be one. I'm just going to simply tell you as much as I know. And this is the peak of my understanding. They're shiny. a good diamond just really will reflect the light and will shine. Be brilliant. They want brilliance. They have four C's. I know carrot. Clarity, Callahan. I know one of them's cut. I was saving that for the last one. But the last one, and they say it is probably the most. It's the hardest one to detect. But it's the one that, if it's done right, brings the value of the diamond higher than any of the other ones. In other words, diamond can be of good high carat, but if the cut's wrong, it won't shine. It won't look as nice. The cut has to be right. You know something? The cut. Here's everything I know. The most important and difficult element to determine the value of a diamond is the cut. The other ones, matter of fact, I was reading a little bit, and they said the other ones are fairly easy to identify and to understand, but it comes when the cut. Why? Because they are so intricate in the cuts. You can have a small little diamond, and that small little diamond can have about 58 different cuts. That's extraordinary. Get yourself a small little piece of paper and try to get 58 cuts on that, and by the time you're about halfway there, you ain't got nothing but dust. But a diamond, a small little rock can have up to 58 cuts or facets of it. And that's one that's beautiful. The more proportionate and appropriately angled these cuts, I mean, these are precise. The more the diamond reflects and retracts light, thus increasing its beauty, its brilliance, and its value. And I was reading that and I was going, wow. Because the whole concept of covenant is to be cut. The whole reason we need one another is to sharpen one another. The whole reason we need one another is to allow ourselves to get a little less rid of self. You know why people sit around and they want to stay at home? Because I am the church. It's because they're selfish. Anytime, there's no I in church. When you start getting I and me and self involved, you're messing with the covenant relationships. Your knife is getting dull, your cuts are getting sloppy, and you're going to miss the brilliance and the value that God wants to bring out in you. That's why He calls us into covenant relationships. That's why He chose from the beginning to use covenant relationships in the garden. He used covenant relationships with Abraham. He used covenant relationships with David. He used covenant relationships, and he called it the covenant relationship that Jesus cut with us. Because it's in that intimacy and that intricacy of those covenant relationships that we find our value. It's in that relationship that we find our brilliance. It's in that relationship we find our beauty. As we continue to cut away and to work. And there's some areas that we have to work on. There's some cuts that are pretty tight and tough. some cuts that we've been working on for a while. And we're trying to get it right. Keep working. Because it's in that cut. It's in that covenant that your value, your true value actually comes. Why? Because you unite your strength in order to get rid of those weaknesses. I'm out of time, so I'm not even going to start the next section, the main section. I was so excited to get to. I had to really lay out there, but a lot. This is good stuff. Amen. I'm excited. But I'll close by just giving you the word that God spoke to me yesterday morning. Is it okay if I at least throw that in here? It's the least you could do, Pastor Thad. But we're going to talk about next week. I don't know if we'll talk about it past then. Depends on how long worship goes next week, right? But He said, I want my people to be a people of excellence. And I was like, excellence. I sat there. I had nothing. I was nowhere. I wasn't even thinking about excellence. I was just praying. I was speaking in tongues. I was asking the Lord. And He said, I want my people to be a people of excellence. Excellence. So I just started reading some stuff and going through and reading, just taking some notes and putting some stuff here and putting stuff there, finding scriptures on it. Got a lot of scriptures we're going to get into. And when I got towards the end of it, here's the thing. I was ready to just talk about excellence in ministry. And He said, this is one of the most missed areas in covenant relationship is excellence. Husbands and wives start getting really complacent with one another, get really lazy with one another, and they start losing that sparkle. Is anybody else going to be thinking about a diamond whenever we use some of these words? Because that's a beautiful one. They lose that edge. They use that cut. They lose that cut, that sparkle in them. Why? Because they start taking each other for granted. They don't do the things that they used to do. They don't love the way they used to love. I was reading a thing. There was a lady who posted. Her and her husband had been together since they were 14 years old, and they're both like 34 years old, and they had been together for like 20 years and several people, and they acted like newlyweds all the time. They just acted like they were and somebody asked her, said, what's your secret with this? And she said, we never stop dating. She said, when we go out places, I stand and let him open the door for me. Because that's what he would have done on our first date. And he said, he does it and he smiles. He calls me honey. He gives me smooches. He buys me things. He does things for me. And he said, we never stop dating. She said, we never stop dating. And that's why we still have that. Again, all that is they're maintaining excellence in their relationship. Therefore, the sparkle, the shine is still there. Amen. We're going to get more into that next week, but I tell you what, the Holy Spirit was teaching me a whole lot. He was really going in deep on me on this area. So we're just going to get in there and again talk more about covenant relationships. But I love it. I love it. Because I want to be as successful in the kingdom of God as I possibly can. I didn't join this thing just to be an also-ran, just to kind of, I want all that God has for me. And beloved, I'm telling you what, when you miss covenant, you're missing a major part of what God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Amen. You guys know I love you, don't you? I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. I enjoy when I hear stories of raises and promotions and just of the I have answered prayers. That's why I'm looking forward to this week. I believe that by the end of this week we will really be seeing just accounts of answered prayers in this body and testimonies and miracles and so I'm anxious for that. But the reason that affects me so much is because you guys make my day. You guys are amazing, and I love you. I love you. I don't take the words that I say at the end of a message for lightly. I don't. I know I watch when Ryan's here. He mouths with me everything I say. I think many of you could say the same thing. I think I've seen Taylor do it a couple times. And again, some people say that's just his memory. No, it is who I am. I love you guys, and I long, I desire, I cherish to hear and to see the blessings of God manifest in your lives, more and more, increased more and more. That's our scripture. That's our scripture here, us and our children. Amen. What's that?
Right back at you.
Amen. Amen.